I invite you to get your Bibles this morning, if you will open to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 25. And I will draw your attention down to verse 14. This morning we'll be looking at the parable of the talents. Matthew 25, begin reading in verse 14. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents, and likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. But he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strowed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strowed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." May we again pray. Our Father in heaven, as we again approach thy throne of grace this morning, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, for what it will teach us. But Lord, I pray that it challenges us, to the Lord, to discern that the talents that we have, that you have given us, the gifts that you've given us, Lord, that we learn to use them according to your honor and glory. Lord, as you search our hearts this morning, if there's one in our midst who's never trusted your Son Jesus as Savior, and they now have that understanding of that need, Lord, I pray that they will turn in repentance and faith and trust in your Son for everlasting life. I pray that you'll guide and direct my words this morning, for it is in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. Now, Jesus, when he spoke of this parable, he said it was basically twofold. First, while Jesus is away, and it says that Jesus was going away, the master, if you will, and this is a reference, a parable. So what's a parable? All right, so let's break that down for just a minute so we're all on the same page. A parable is something that's told of a flesh or physical sense to teach a spiritual truth. All right, so that's what parables were given by the Lord for the reasoning of doing it. So while Jesus is away, the believer is to do something. That's the first and foremost thing that we need to understand about this parable. While he's away, we're to do something. What is that something? We're to work. We're to work faithfully and diligently. And in fact, John 9 and 4 records, I must work the words of him that sent me. So while Jesus was here on this earth, while he was doing his ministry for about 3.5 years, his statement was, while I am here doing my ministry, I must work the works of him that sent me. Well, who sent him? His Father. So while he was here, he was steadfast in doing the work that his Father had sent him to do. In fact, he goes on to say, while it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. In fact, John 4:34, Jesus again says, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." So we have, first and foremost, as a child of God, as a church member, we have a responsibility that while He's away, until He comes back, we are to work. Now, the second thing that Jesus calls us to do while He's away is that we need to understand that we are to know something. The second thing is we're to know something. Well, what are we to know? What is the something that we're to know? That His work that we're doing while we're waiting on His return will be greatly rewarded or it will be severely judged. The work that we're doing is either going to be greatly rewarded or it is going to be severely judged. So that is something also that we need to understand. And in fact, it's recorded in Revelation 12:22-12, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." So Christ is dealing here with this parable of the talents. Christ is dealing with His return. And it says, as we were reading here in the opening, it says, "Yeah, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." So Christ is teaching that He's going to be going on a long journey, and He has gone on a long journey. He said, well, what was the long journey? He ascended back to the Father. When He went back to the Father, He says, "As I have gone, I will return." We just don't know when He's going to return. How long has He been gone on this journey, if you will? Well, about 2,000 years. Since He died, arose up to heaven, and ascended up to heaven. He's been gone about 2,000 years. That's what He's speaking about with regards. And notice also what He says in verse 14. You know that I say this all the time. Words mean everything. What is He trying to say to us? For the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is the church. The church has been given a responsibility. He says, I'm leaving with you my goods. Well, one of the goods that we have that He left with us. He says, it is needful that I go so that who may come? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is here. The Comforter is here to help us. What else do we have? We have the Word of God. So this is also the goods that we have. We have the Spirit of God who comforts us, who guides us, who teaches us. But what does He teach us? That we are to be a people working. And we know that the work that we do for His honor and glory will be rewarded. But if we choose not to do His work, we're also going to be judged because of the fact is that we did not do the work He called us to do. And that's what we're going to see in this parable this morning. Again, in this first verse, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto him his goods." Remember what was told to the disciples there when Jesus was ascending. Remember that, is that He was ascending and they were gazing up looking, and you read about this in Acts chapter 1. They were gazing, they were watching, and the angel says, and I'll paraphrase basically what they said, is that, remember this, as He goes, He is going to be coming back as He came, and the work is not here to be gazing. The work is to get back into Jerusalem and get to work. Well, what does Acts tell us also? And after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, He says, this is the work you're going to do. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, meaning as the Holy Ghost was going to come into the church as that comforter, as that guide, whereas Jesus being here personally with His church, He was the comforter, He was the guide. But as He ascended, He says, as the Comforter comes upon you, as the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and I am empowering you to go forward under the Holy Spirit's leadership and guidance, using my word as your guide of faith and practice, He says, you will be witnesses unto me. Where? In Jerusalem, first and foremost. In Judea. Jerusalem is in Judea. In Samaria, which is in Israel. So into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Meaning, wherever man is, that's where you're to go, and you're to evangelize. You are to baptize those who have trusted in Christ as Savior. They are, in turn, those who have been saved, those who have been baptized, those are, in turn, are to be uniting with the local New Testament assembly, because the Scripture says, Christ and God, one and the same. God receives honor and glory through His church. We were saved unto His good works. We are saved unto His ministry. It doesn't mean that we go out and invent ministries and slap Jesus on it. It means that we understand from studying the Scriptures what His ministry is. And I, by the way, if you were to ask me, what is the ministry of Cornerstone Baptist Church? I will tell you there is only one ministry that we have given by God, and it is called the Great Commission. That is our ministry. If we do other things, those are still to be with the Lord still in the center of those things. But first and foremost, we have one ministry. And I'll tell you, it takes all our effort just to do that one. It does. It takes all our effort just to do the Great Commission. That's our ministry. And so what He says here, I'm leaving my goods. I'm leaving my directions. I'm leaving my guidance. And now it says, and now I want you to use what I'm giving you. But let's now break this down a little bit further. When we get into verse 14, one other thing I want to add here. What He now gives us as individuals who we collectively make this body, there's one thing that He gives every one of us to do, every one of us has certain attributes that the Lord has given us. He gives us all time. Number one, He gives us time. Time that should be devoted to Him. Time that should be devoted to study. Time that should be devoted to prayer. But more importantly, or just as importantly, time that should be used to seek opportunities to work for Him. Time, every one of us given. In fact, we're called upon in Ephesians chapter 5, starting verse 15. See then that you work circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So we are to make the most of the opportunities that God gives us with the time He has given us. Number one, He gives us all time. The second that He gives us, second thing He gives us, so that we can do His work, so that we can do what He has instructed us to do. He gives us skills. He gives us abilities. Every child of God has been given a certain skill set. Every one of us. These are from the Spirit, from the Holy Spirit. They're gifts, they're abilities that God has given. My gifts, my talents, are not your gifts and your talents. Your gifts and talents that God has given you are not my gifts. I always say this. God has a divine plan for every individual's life. That life is activated the very moment that you trust in Jesus. If you don't trust in Jesus, or you can go out here and try to serve God on your own, but it will be for naught. It will be for naught if you're out here just doing it on your own. But the moment that you... And you say, well, why would you say that? There's a lot of people that go out here and try to work for Jesus. They try to work for God for all of this purpose of trying to become in favor with God so that God might accept them. You can do all the work that you want to do and it will never make you acceptable before God. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So if we could work for salvation, if we could do some great thing for salvation, then Jesus would not have had to come and down the cross to save us. That's the bottom line. So we work not to be saved. We work because we have been saved. Because we've trusted in Christ the Savior. So we're all given a set of skills and abilities. Your abilities are different than my abilities. But you see, in a church body, when we come together and we bring our respective skills, our abilities together, and we become as one body, and we work together, we are in unity and harmony. As that body, Christ being the head, we being the body, then we can go into the world and do what the Lord has taught us to do. Evangelize the world. Carry the gospel to the world. And then those we have won to Christ, we bring them, they come in, they submit to baptism, they unite with us, and remember part of that Great Commission, it says to teach them to observe all things, whatsoever I have commanded you. So what we have in the Scripture is that So the scripture teaches us time is number one that everybody has. Skills and abilities is something that everybody has. And then we have treasure and talents. Now, what is treasures and talents? Every child of God has been given treasure. And what that means is talents, treasures and talents, it's a body of resources. A body of resources. All of us have been given various resources. Now, it's important for us to understand, and I'll make this further clear as we go through this text. We have one source, but many resources. If we have many sources, then some of those sources are going to fail us. We have one source, and it's God. One source, and He's the one that provides us the resources. And resources can be people, it can be things, but the point is that He provides the resources, the talents, so that we may best serve Him. So we have abilities, and we have resources. We use our abilities with the resources to bring Him then honor and glory. So time, skills, and talents are treasure or resources, if you will, okay? And all of this is for the furtherance and the advancement of the kingdom of heaven. So in our text again, we read in verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Now notice these 3 men, these 3 servants, all right? They were his servants of his household. He gave them the same type of resources. He gave them the same type of resources to use. What were the resources? The talents. In this case, we're going to look at it as it was money, okay? He gave them all, in this parable he gave them the same resources. They were all given the same resources, but they were not given the same amount. Now, why did he not give them the same amount? Well, first of all, is that when we read in verse 15, notice what the scripture says. To every man according to his several ability. Alright? So the one that he gave 5 talents to, the one that he gave 5 talents to, is that one could handle 5 talents. The one that he gave the 2 talents to, with their abilities, they could handle the 2 talents. Their abilities, their skill set. It did not say that the one that was given 5 was any better than the one that was given 2. It just says that the one that was given the 5, his ability to manage and handle the 5 was equal to the one that was given the 2, and his ability to manage and handle the 2 was just as important as the one that was given the 1 talent, for his set of abilities was such that he could handle the 1. Now think about this. The Lord does not want anyone to fail. The Lord gives us all the grace, everything that we need to do the job He's called us to. What if He had given the man that gave 2 talents, what if He gave him 5? And he didn't know how to deal with the 5, and there was a loss. Then you would say, well, the Lord treated him badly. Think about if He gave the man that could handle 5 only 2. Well, he was underutilized in his skills, his abilities. And what the Lord was teaching here, in every church congregation, because again, the kingdom of heaven is a reference to the church, in every local New Testament assembly, you have people in that congregation that could handle 1 talent, that could handle 2 talents, and they can handle 5 talents. And again, remember, a parable is this. A parable is something that was given in the physical sense to speech or to teach a spiritual truth. So in a congregation, sometimes we look and say, you know, and people are called upon, can you come and can you teach a lesson as an example? And they may not be equipped to teach a lesson as a teacher. They just may not be ready to do that. But over here, a person that has maybe studied a little more, that God has equipped them for that, they could come and step in to teach. But that person that says, well, I can't teach, but that person does other things in the congregation which are just as important, is that's because of the abilities, the skill set that they've been given. If you look at, so my point is, all three of these individuals had the same things. They had time, they had abilities, and they had resources. They had the same resources. They just had different amounts. So they all start from the same place. They were all given the same instructions. They all needed to understand that the master of the house, meaning Christ, He was going to go on a journey. He's going to come back. So what God has given you, use it. What God has given you, use it to the fullest of your ability. Alright? And as a result of that, then we will all be judged by what we did. We will be rewarded, or we will be judged from the sense of, why didn't you use what God had given you with the abilities, the talents that God had given you to serve Him? Now, again, why am I going to use this? Why am I going to use my time, my skills, and the talents or resources He's given me? Let us lay this down as a very clear understanding. It is not for my honor and glory. It is not for your honor and glory. It is for His honor and glory. Because the very minute that you start using your time, your skills, and your resources that He has given you for your honor and glory, then you know what you may end up getting? A little pat on the back. And you know what you just received? Your reward. He says, when you come before me, don't ask me for a reward. You got it on earth. You wanted the pat on the back? You got it. But He says, if you do it to my honor and glory, and you do it for me, then there will be a reward that's given because you were faithful to what I called you to do. And in fact, to further talk about the differences in the gifts and talents that we have, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So your gifts and talents are to be put with my gifts and talents. And as a result, we collectively have our gifts and talents and we serve together so that we may all profit together. And what that means, so that we're able to serve the Lord together, move forward together, so that we may execute and act on the Great Commission. And be reminded again of this. Matthew 16 and 27 says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. Every man is going to be rewarded according to his works, what we did. How did I use my gifts and talents for the furtherance of the kingdom of heaven? How did I use them? I'm not going to be judged on what you did with your gifts and talents and your time and your resources. I'm not going to be judged for that. I'm going to be judged on what I did with what God had given me. You're going to be judged on what you did with yours. You're not going to be judged on what I did with my time, my gifts, my talents. That's why it's imperative for us to look at what we have and how can I be used of God with what I have, what God has given me. How are we going to be measured? How are the rewards going to be handed out? We're all going to be judged equally. How did you use your time, your skills, and your resources? We're all going to be judged equally from that perspective. And I'll show you that further as we continue on. Look at verse 16 of our text. It says, then he that received the 5 talents went. When did he go? He went immediately. As soon as he received them, he went immediately to start trading what he had. Traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. So he was able to go, and however he traded, he used his skills, he used his talents, he used his time wisely, and as a result is that he was able to earn back 100% return on what he had. He used it, and one other thing to mention as well, I think that sometimes it's important. We are not owners. We're only managers. Remember, it was the Lord that gave them the gifts or the talents. It was the Lord that gave them the resources. It was the Lord that gave them the abilities. We are only managers. You know, if we would ever get that right in our heads, we'd work a lot better for the Lord. And by the way, just so that I'll throw this in for good measure. We talk about giving tithes and offerings. So let's talk about just for a moment of what a tithe is. If you were just, and I'll use this as an example. We said, well, I've given my 10%, that's a tithe. And I have control over the 90. Wrong. The Lord owns 100%. It's His. He says, give back to me your tithes and talents. Your tithes and offerings. I believe that's what the Lord teaches us that we ought to give. Tithes and offerings. All right? From a willing heart. But we often forget that the rest of it, He owns also. What He has given you, the 100% that He has given you to work with, that resource is His. We're just managers. So how we deal with the tithes and offerings is one thing. But how we deal with the rest of it is of the same accord. We are to seek His will. We're to seek His guidance. And so it's when we're talking about money here is the talent as an example. Because sometimes church members, they will be astute to say, well, you know, I'll give my tithes and offerings, but then they're frivolous with the rest of what God has given. And you say, well, why is that important that I'm not frivolous, that I'm frugal, that I use it to His honor and glory? Because there may be a time that somebody comes and knocks at your door and says, I need some help. I need some help. Can you help me? God may have sent them because He had given you enough resources that you could help someone. And you say, well, no, I've been frivolous and what I've got here and I spent it all on me and I spent it on my own way and there's nothing I have to help you out with. What we need to understand is the rest of what we have is under His charge as well. And if we could get that straightened out, then I will tell you is that congregations would be stronger, families would be stronger, individuals would be stronger if we understood that it all belongs to Him and we're just managers. And you know, when you start to understand that you're just a manager and it's not yours, you look at things differently. Because you start to say, am I spending this wisely? Am I doing this wisely with the resources that God has given me? Because remember, all of it is His, and it's all to be used to His honor and glory. And we need to understand here is that when we look at the faithfulness, we look at the diligence out of these men that we have in this parable. You know, they all had initiative. They all had energy. They all had effort. The question was, how are they going to expend it? Let's continue reading. And they also had the ability to be successful in what they did. Again, it says the first one went, traded, that other 5 talents. 17 says, and likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now, one thing to note about this third man. The third man, again, had every same opportunity. He had his respective time. He had his respective skill set. And he had his ability, because it says that God gave these, that the master, the owner, the man traveling, talking about the Lord Himself, He had given out everything according to that individual's ability. That one that had 1 talent had just as much ability to deal with his 1 talent as the one that had 5 to deal with his 5. And they were all looked at the same. There was no, well, you've got 5, you're more important. You've got 1, you're less important. That was none of that. They were given it based on their abilities. That God had given the abilities. But what did this individual do? Now, this individual did expend his time. He did expend his energy. He did expend the opportunity to do what? Bury it. He spent the time. But instead of using it, instead of trying to trade with it, minimally put it in a bank and get some interest off of it, he spent all of his energy burying it. Now, why did he bury it? He buried it because of the fact is that he buried it from this perspective. Now, he's going to later blame the Lord for his actions. But he really buried it is because of the fact he didn't want to spend the time for the Lord. He was happier with going and living for the world. And you know, by the way, if I just bury it, and I'm not using it, I'm not trading it, at least when he comes back, and I show he's got it, even if he doesn't like what I did with it, he at least probably will be appreciated I didn't lose it. And you know what? There's a lot of people that are children of God that are doing the same exact thing. What God has given you, if you're not using it for Him, is if you just took it out and buried it. And we're going to see at the end of this parable, I will tell you this, is that there's a high probability that you're going to lose the gifts and talents you have because you're not using them. You know, I'm reminded of Moses. You all know about Moses. Moses was called upon God to lead his people out of Egypt. Moses was given some abilities. He'd been taught, if you go back and you study about Moses, for 40 years he lived in Egypt. He had been taught about all the ways of how a government works. He had been taught all the ways he'd seen progress, he'd seen success, he'd seen all the things from the perspective of how to run things. Then the Lord sent him out for 40 years to basically shepherd sheep. To shepherd sheep. So here was a man that had all kinds of knowledge. So out here's a man that I got to learn how to shepherd sheep because sheep just don't want to follow at times. They need a lot of guidance. They need a lot of shepherding. So he took that man and then he says, I want you to, as God met him there at the burning bush, he says, I want you to go and I want you to lead my people out. But what did Moses immediately start to do? He says, they're not going to listen to me, but I've given you the talents, the resources, everything that you're going to need, I'm going to give you when you get there. What do you got in your hand? I've got a staff. Throw it down on the ground. What happened to it? Turned into a serpent. Pick it up. Picked it up. Turned back into a staff. He said, you got a hand? Yes, I have a hand. Put it in your coat. Pulled it out. Leprous. Put it back in. Pull it out. Clear as if he had no leprosy. He says, you know something else you've got that I've given you is a voice. You learned how to speak there. You've learned how to deal with these sheep and guide them. And these sheep listen to your voice. They follow you because you're the shepherd of them. My people will follow you as well. But I can't speak. Lord got mad at him. He says, who made your mouth? Who made your tongue? Who made you? He says, and Aaron's brother shows up. He says, okay, Aaron will be your mouthpiece. I'm going to tell you right now, Moses lost some blessings. Moses lost some rewards because God had given him everything he needed. So yes, there are times that we say, do you realize what Moses had actually done? Is that the gifts and the talents that he had given, that God had given him, and Moses did not need Aaron to speak for him. He lost some blessings. That ability to go down and to talk to Pharaoh and not have to use Aaron as a mouthpiece, he could have done all of that because God had given him everything he needed. He had given him the skill set. And you see, there are times that we're called upon in God's service. And no, I can't do that. And we start with the but. I can't speak. I can't stand before people. I can't. God says, but who made you? Who gave you the skills? Who gave you the talents? And you know, if we keep down that line and we keep burying, because that's all we're doing is burying the talents that God has given us. If we keep burying them, I will tell you that when the Master comes back and He says, show forth what you've done with the talents, the resources that I've given you, and we'll say, well, here's what you gave me, and then there's going to be judgment because we didn't use it for Him. We didn't use it for Him, for His honor and glory. This third man took his time, his energy, to go out and bury the gift that God has given him. And you know, I've heard all kinds of excuses why people aren't serving the Lord and they have gifts and talents. Well, I don't like to stand up in people. I don't want to be seen. I don't want to do... I. And the Lord says, I am He. I made you. You are my servant. You're no longer your own. I purchased you. I redeemed you. I died on the cross for you. If anyone wants to stand up and say, I, that's God. That's Christ. But it should be, what do you want me to do, Lord? We ought to have the attitude as Saul of Tarsus, who became the missionary called Paul, that as he trusted in Christ the Savior on the road to Damascus, his first words out of his mouth were, Lord, what would you have me to do? That is the words that ought to come off our lips. Lord, how do you want me to use the gifts and talents you've given me? How do you want me to use the resources you've given me? I need your guidance. I need you to study your word. I need to see what I can do because it's for the furtherance of the kingdom of heaven. It is not for your own sake and not your name. It's for His. And if we all had that understanding, what more could be done for the Lord? Verse 19, now we see the day of reckoning. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh. And I'll tell you, one day the Lord is going to return him in and reckoneth with them. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Notice what the response was in verse 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. And I love what it says at the end of that verse. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So he came back and he says, well done. Well done. You've taken your time, your skills, your abilities, the resources that I've given you. You have taken those and understood that I was the source of all things. And I gave you all these different resources for you to trade and to use them with. And as a result, you were able to double what you had. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now notice the second gentleman that came in. Verse 22. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And notice the response in verse 23. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. What do we see? The response from the Lord. What had been stated to the first gentleman that had 5 talents that earned 5 more? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. The person that came in with the 2 talents, he says, I earned 2 more. So he's got 4. Here they are. Not only the 2 you gave me, but here's 2 more to go with it. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Do you realize the same types of reward was given? They were faithful because and based on their abilities and what the Lord had given. At the very minute they were given these gifts, these talents, they went out and they immediately engaged in using them for God's honor and glory, for the furtherance of the kingdom of heaven. And as a result of doing it, it says they had the return and they were able to bring forth that which was already the Lord's. It's been doubled, and as a result, the Lord says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now let's look at the statement that we have with regards to what we do on the earth. You know, you ever wonder why it says in the Scripture when it talks about the rewards when they're given out, it says the last will be first and the first will be last? I truly believe that fits very well with this parable. And what I mean by that is that oftentimes, we look at sometimes the people with the 5 talents and their abilities, and maybe because they stand out more because of where they are in, you know, whether they're in front of people more often, and we say, well, they're going to get rewarded well. I'll tell you, sometimes the individual's got 1 talent or 2 talents that have been serving the Lord faithfully, they may be in front of the one that had the 5. They may be very much in front of the one ahead in five, because even though you didn't see what they were doing, they were the backbone of the church. When it came to praying, they were their prayer warriors. When it says that when you do your gifts, when you do your charity, let not your left hand know what your right hand does. They were the ones that when there was a need by someone in the church or there was a need of a neighbor, they were the ones that went and took care of it. No one else knew that it was going on. When there was some special thing going on that needed assistance, they were running around the background. You never saw them because all you saw was the finished product. You didn't see what they were doing. That's why I truly believe is that as a result, even though they may have only had the one or the two talents, is the fact that they took what God had given them, the abilities, the time, they invested themselves in it because they knew at the end of the day that God receives honor and glory out of what they have in their lives. The last shall be first in many cases. Is because those that stood in front, because you see, sometimes those that have the more abilities are out in front, they struggle at times with the eye-itis affliction. They struggle sometimes with the pat on the back. They struggle sometimes with the notoriety. Because you see, if we're not careful, when somebody appreciates what you've done and it gets said over and over, we become somebody when we're really no one. The Lord is the somebody. We're the servants. But you see, sometimes we take the applause when it should be to God be honor and glory. Praise Him. If you see anything that I do good, you praise Him because He gave me the time, the ability, and the resources to do what I'm doing. You praise Him. It's okay to say, we appreciate what you've done and what you're doing. We appreciate that. But to God be glory. He's the one that receives the honor and glory, not us. You see, when we have that mindset, we have the mindset of what's going on, and that's why both of these men, didn't matter if they one had five or the other one had two, they both received the praise from God. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. But let's look at the third guy. The third guy. It says, then he which had received the talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strewed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. Here's that one talent, if you will. Now you think about this. If he was really afraid, he knew that the master of the house was a hard man, wouldn't you have a little fear? Wouldn't you have a little fear if he was a hard man? If you knew that he went and earned money where he had not strode, and if he knew that he gathered it up and he was a strict man, wouldn't you have thought that, you know what, I better get out there and do something with what I've been given? Wouldn't there have been a little bit of fear? Man, I better go use this instead of bearing it. In other words, what he's doing is he's really blaming the master. Why did you give me this talent? You knew I wasn't going to be good at what I'm doing with it. You knew that. Remember what Adam said to God when they ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and brought sin upon all of mankind? Lord, you gave me that woman. Because she was the one that was beguiled. He was beguiled by the serpent, right? You gave me that woman. And she gave me that fruit and I ate it. I didn't want to hurt her feelings. Yeah, I didn't want her to stand alone. You gave me that woman. No different here. He is blaming God, the master, if you will. You gave me the talents. You knew, and I knew that, and I feared you. Well, if you really feared me, you'd be out using them. You'd be bringing me honor and glory. You'd be training them. And that's why he said here, he says, and when his Lord says, the Lord answered and said unto them, thou wicked, thou slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strowed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, meaning put it in the bank, earn some interest on it. And then at my coming, I should have received mine own with usury. And if he had done that and earned some interest, he could have come back and say, okay, I may not have made you know, much off of it, but here's what I did make with it. I was wise with it. And remember, his ability was enough that he could have put it in the bank. In other words, in this parable. Remember, this is a physical parable. Think about this, about spiritually applying this. Spiritually applying this is that if we use what we have, we instead of suppressing what God has given us, I don't want to do anything, but the Lord says, but you can find a way to use that talent to honor me. I'll show you how to do it if you trust me. If you just trust in me and lean on me, remember the Lord says, my word is to be a lamp unto thy feet, a light to thy path. He says, I'll guide thy steps. You will not fall. I'll give you the grace that you need to go forward. I'll give you everything that you need to use it, but you must trust in me and use what I've given you to my honor and glory. And you see, every one of us, remember what I said at the beginning, every one of us have been given time, abilities, and resources. We have one source. My source is no different than your source. We have one solid source, God. The Spirit of God gives us the abilities. The Spirit of God shows us the resources so that we may profit with all. And if you're not bringing your gifts and talents to be used with us, we're lacking. As all, we're lacking. God wants you to engage. God wants you to use what you've given. Again, for this reason. For the furtherance of the kingdom of heaven. So that others might be saved. So that others might be, who have been saved, are baptized. Those who have been saved, who have been baptized, are added. For what? For the furtherance of the kingdom of heaven. And yes, I will sound like a broken record if I need to, because that is what the Scripture says. For the furtherance of the kingdom of heaven. And so, the judgment that came. Now think about the judgment. Think about the judgment. This is where the fear should come to us. For not using what He's given us. Remember what He said to the first two men. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Enter into the joy. But what is He saying now to this third man? He says, thou wicked, thou slothful servant. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strowed. Thou oughtest therefore have put your money to the exchangers. Verse 28 says, therefore, take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. So notice what happened. The talent, the resource that had been given this man, was pulled away. Was taken away from him. There was loss here that he wasn't going to be able to use at all for the honor and glory of God. It was taken away and given to him that had the 10. And so as a result of this, is that this judgment was, your resources are now gone. For unto everyone that hath shall be given. You see what the Lord says here, that when we serve Him, when He says that with the abilities, the time, the resources, then what will happen is that more will be added. You know, I look at it in my life over the service of the Lord and being in church for all my life. One of the things I've seen how the Lord works is that, you know, He starts using the gifts and talents that we have. And as He sees that we're faithful unto what we're doing with what He gives, He can give us more abilities. He can give us more resources because we've been faithful using what He's given us. He can expand what we're doing for Him so that we can what? Greater honor Him. Greater honor Him to, you know, and help with the kingdom of heaven. But you know what? When He takes away, He pulls away the resource, it makes it very difficult then to do what? To serve Him. Because, and this doesn't mean that you have lost salvation. It just means that you've lost. You see, with those resources, we were to use them so that there could be rewards. I said that from the beginning. So if He's taken resources away, those that we were supposed to use for Him to bring Him honor and glory from which rewards would come forth, then as a result, that says we're losing out on rewards in heaven because the opportunity for rewards have been removed in many ways. Doesn't mean you lost salvation. It just means that you've lost this. In fact, let me read from Scripture in 1 Corinthians to back up what I'm saying. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 11, says, "For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Christ, Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Yet so as by fire. So, you'll be there in heaven, but you'll have nothing to show for it. No rewards. Because you lost, they were taken. They were gone. And notice, let's finish up reading here. It says this: "Give it unto the tenth, the one had ten," verse 29. "For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, this word, weeping and gnashing of teeth, one of the things is that we know that those are terms, weeping and gnashing of teeth are terms that are used to describe punishment in hell. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will be weeping when an individual is cast into hell and then ultimately into the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. And I'm talking about unbelievers. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But you see, this same term is used to talk about the sorrow, to talk about the loss, to talk about not being able to enter in to the same type of joy with the rewards that other believers are afforded. Now, this comes at that judgment seat of Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you that there's two school of thoughts here on this. And I'll tell you where I lean on this, all right? Two school of thoughts is that this individual, the slothful, the wicked servant that's being chastised here, is that one that just, all their works are like burned up, and they're saved yet so as by fire. They allowed themselves to get into a backsliding condition. They allowed themselves to walk after the carnality. They allowed themselves to get to where they dug the hole. They put the treasure of the resource in it. They hid it. And then when the Lord comes back, we say, "Well, here it is." But He says, "You have nothing to show for it." I find that very much fits with 1 Corinthians chapter 3, what I just read, what I quoted from. But then there, the other side of that, there are those that say this, and they look at this scripture, because they look at that term, weeping and gnashing of teeth. And by the way, for the person that stands before the Lord, I'm talking about at the judgment seat of Christ, that's where you are to receive the rewards as a believer. All right? There will be tears. There's going to be sorrow. Oh, it's going to be a joyous day that you're going to be in heaven, but there will be tears and sorrow. Because the Lord is going to tell that individual, "You had all these opportunities to serve me with what I gave you, and you chose to bury it." There will be tears. There will be sorrow. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Because there's no opportunity to rule. There's no opportunity to reign. Because you squandered what God gave you here on earth. But the other side of this, that some have this idea, is that this was talking about those that came and they were only professors of Christ, but not possessors. That they had all the markings. I looked like a Christian, they sounded like a Christian, they walked like a Christian. You couldn't tell that they weren't a Christian. And that some of these were those that came and came as Jesus was preaching the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Where He said, "There's going to become those that come to Me," it says, "Lord, Lord, have we not cast out demons in Thy name? Have we not done all these great works in Thy name?" And He says, "Depart from Me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity." I struggle with that one, that side of that, for this reason. I struggle with that, and I don't buy into that, but I always like to tell you if there's two sides to something, that people look at this. I don't ascribe to it for this reason. If we go back to verse 14, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." I believe that these were all would have been considered believers. Not just professors, but these were truly possessors. That he, because you remember where the gifts and the talents come from. They come from the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit had given the gifts, the ability, the resources, and they are of the Holy Spirit, then they have to be of God, which means they must be of God. That's why I don't subscribe to that other thought that these were just professors and not possessors. This is why we should fear, and from the perspective of being reminded that we were saved unto good works. We are His workmanship. Now, why do we do all this? Again, why do we do all this? I serve Him because I want to. I serve Him because He saved me. I serve Him because He first loved me. I didn't love Him first. He loved me first. He's the one that came and died on the cross of Calvary that I might be saved. I serve Him for that reason. He is my motivation. I want to please Him. Do I do it always? Faithfully? No. None of us do. In those times that I don't, I ask Him to forgive me. Get me back on the right path so I can do what I need to do. But you see, if I serve Him in my liberty. He made me free. He broke my sin, my chains of sin. My bondage is gone. He's made me free to serve Him. I want to serve Him because, and I want Him to be my Lord. I want Him to have charge of my life. I'm a work in progress. So are you. I want to grow. I want to know what pleases Him. I want to know what honors Him. But that means I've got to engage and do what He's called me to do. You've got to engage and do what... And for what reason? Because there's lost people out there that need to hear the gospel. There's lost people that need to hear that Jesus is the only way of salvation. There's lost people that need to understand we all are going to die one day and we're all going to stand before Jesus. The question is He going to say, come into my home, I have a home prepared for you, or depart from me, I never knew you. That is ultimately the bottom line. And the latter is because they didn't trust in Jesus, and people need to be warned that if you don't trust in Jesus, you're going to split hell wide open. And not everybody is going to be in heaven because they did not believe. Bottom line, there's only one sin that God cannot forgive. He can forgive every sin except for one, and that is the sin of unbelief. And by the way, belief is not just saying, I believe in God. Belief is not saying, I believe there's a God. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe He went on that cross. That is not belief. Belief is when you have understood in your heart that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. When you've understood there's nothing that you can do to save yourself, that only Jesus can save you. You asked Him to forgive you of your sin and trust in Him to save you. And He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord in faith shall be saved. If you've done that, then you've believed. If you have not, you've professed with no possession. And you know what? There's a lot of talking heads in our world today that need to be quieted down because they are spilling out and spewing out heretical teachings that are against God. There's only one way to the Father, and that is through the Son, Jesus Christ. We need to stand unashamedly. We need to stand firm. We need to stand steadfast. Use what God has given us to teach that message. Jesus is the only way. And if you've never trusted in Jesus as Savior, today is to be the day of salvation. Trust in Him today before it's everlasting too late. Let us stand as our musicians come for a hymn of invitation. Father in heaven, as we come to the close of this service and this study, Lord, we just thank You so much for what You've taught us. Lord, I pray that we've been challenged in Your Word to use the gifts, the talents, the time, the resources that You've given us to You, to Your honor and glory, to further Your kingdom of heaven. Lord, You know the hearts of each individual that's here. You know the need. And Lord, I pray that we will respond in obedience unto Your leadership and direction, whatever the need is. For it is in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.